Discussion and possible action on the construction contract for expansion of the East Williamson County Well Water System and update on the system, David Collinsworth.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, for the last 4 years, staff has been presenting to the board various steps along the way of the development of the East Williamson County Regional Facility. And I've shown you this map a few times, and just to give you a real brief update, when we were before you in April, we were having some issues with Southwest Mile and Water Supply Corporation about an easement issue. We did resolve that issue. We got exactly what we were asking for as far as the easements and the management of the land goes. It's going to cost us about $10,000 to buy our way into the easements. We're really not happy about having to spend that money, but looking back, our anticipated $20,000 worth of legal fees, we think this works out quicker for us. Does save us a little money, and it gets us to where we need to get, and that's moving down the road with the expansion. As a reminder, in May of 2004, we inked a deal with the city of Taylor. And when we inked that deal, it really put us in a position, it really gave us two major benefits. It put the BRA as the sole provider for treated water, treated surface water in East Williamson County. And it also freed up a tremendous amount of water into Lake, in Lake Granger that would allow us to deal with some growth issues. If we wouldn't have done that, there would have been water tied up in Lake Granger, and as some of the growth moved east, there would have been quite an issue on how surface water was going to get to some of those individuals. There are a lot of concerns throughout the region about not only the quality of the groundwater, but also the availability of the groundwater and how that's going to meet the growing demands of East Williamson County. Basically, where we are today is we've gone out for bids for the facility to be expanded. We've opened those bids, and I want to talk a minute about those numbers. But going back just a minute, when we signed that contract with the city of Taylor, the city of Taylor was in a position at the time that they were fixing to fall under enforcement issues with TCEQ because of the capacity of the facility, the way the facility peaks and their water demands were forcing the city of Taylor to expand the plant. And that's one of the reasons that we've been so aggressive in our design and engineering of the facility. This is the property that we purchased. We own the red. That's the existing facility as it lays today. And the yellow hash marks are the property that we acquired. I'll show you a map in a little bit of how the overlay of the expansion will be. But first of all, I want to talk a little bit about the bidding process. To address some of the security issues, to address some of the issues that we have with the different contractors that we felt would be applying or would be bidding for this job, we went ahead and pre-qualified. So we had some documentation filled out by contractors that wanted to bid on the facility. They had to supply references. Friesen Nichols, which was our contractor, went through and reviewed those, called references, did some history checks on job performance and budgeting and those type of things. So we pre-qualified a list of five contractors. Of those five, four of the contractors bid. The contractor that did not bid, we had discussions with him. They were very concerned about the availability of concrete and steel and some other issues and didn't think they could necessarily tie up the amount of quantity of materials that were going to be needed for this job. The bids ranged basically from $16.3 million to $17.9 million. With a job this size, we were kind of relieved in the fact that the bids were as close as they were. The bids were higher than Friesen and Nichols had anticipated. They anticipated the bids would be in the 14.5 range. So we were just a tad bit surprised that they came in. The low bid was 16.3. Some of the issues that we've been very concerned about as far as the bidding goes is just simply the cost of raw materials. Concrete, in the last 6 to 8 months, we've seen the price of copper wire go through the roof. And then also the availability of PVC, which are all components of the facility. Before you is a resolution for 17, I don't have the number in front of me, but I told you that the low bid was 16.3. As a state agency, if the low bidder meets our qualifications and standards, we're required to go with the low bid. In this instance, the references that we checked, what we know about the company, we're very satisfied with Archer Western. We ran background checks. Friesen Nichols and Bradley Riverbury staff knew of two project managers at Archer and Western. We recommended those two, and we got actually our first choice. So we're very pleased about the gentleman that's going to come and actually be on site as the contract manager. Again, the bids, the low bid was 16.3, but the number before you is about $968,000 more than that. And the reason is, in the financing and the timing and the development of this facility, and again, it's going to be a regional facility, we're in a position to where we expand the facility today, and a water facility, TCDQ, requires that we not only be able to meet the daily demands of all the customers, but we have to be able to meet twice that demand. So if today the demand on the facility is 5 MGD, we have to be able to treat and supply 10 MGD. So in looking at that and the timing of our performance, we have another expansion of about $2.5 to $3 million built in somewhere in the 2010 to 2012 timeframe. But since Friesen Nichols, the inspector, the contractor, and everyone was going to be on site, we did an alternate bid to understand what it would cost us to do that additional 2.5 MGD expansion today. And actually, it cost about $968,000 today versus $2.5 to $3 million down the road. So we chose to implement that, to recommend that to the board as an implementation today, to save those dollars in the future. Again, to go back and talk a little bit about the financials of the facility. As a regional facility and having to meet twice, have a peaking factor and be able to treat that amount of water, and then to go in and add new customers, what the Brazos River Authority is forced to do is to go in and expand the facility to meet demands that are going to come online in a given time frame. So what happens is that you issue an amount of debt. You don't have that flow into the facility yet. It takes 2 to 3 years to start realizing those increased flows after you've expanded. And then your finances begin to where after 2 to 3 years, you begin to recuperate that amount of debt that you've issued. But it so happens in this facility that when we start issuing debt next year, right about the time that we start going from an under-recovery to breaking even and making a profit, we have to issue another round of debt for the intake structure. So what happens in the portfolio is that you look at the facility, we issue the debt, we under-recover for 2 to 3 years, 4 years, worst-case scenario. Then we go in about 2010 to 2012 as we're beginning to break even on the profit margin. We issue another round of debt for the intake structure, and we kind of repeat the cycle again. We under-recover for 2 or 3 years, and then sometime between 2014 and 2015 is when we really start seeing the return on this investment. Currently, today, we have two major customers, the City of Taylor and Jonah Water Sud. Under those two customers, the City of Taylor supplies water to Hutto. That agreement will continue. It's a very small amount of water, about 300,000 gallons a day. They also supply water to NOAC, which is a water supply corporation south of Taylor, and to the City of Thrall. Those two water suppliers have requested their contracts be increased. Jonah Sud, I truly believe, in 3 to 5 years will be the largest customer out of that facility. Their growth is going to be tremendous. There is a major highway that's going to be expanded. Everybody talks about State Highway 130, but the truth of the matter is that there's Chandler Road, which runs between Georgetown and Round Rock. That's going to be expanded east. And as that growth goes east, there's going to be tremendous development along that growth because that's really in rural Jonah's territory. So developers are lining up at the door of Jonah. They know about this. They're wanting water as soon as we can get it to them.
And I know you won't believe this, but Steve and I have been in meetings, and there is contentious down there between those communities with Round Rock and Jonah, Hutto and Taylor, and the Friday Night Syndrome is alive and well again, and there is it's contentious, but it needs, it's got to be done.
Jonah Sud is currently in negotiation with the City of Taylor. They're fixing to ink a deal that will allow them to take water immediately from the facility. So before we even get the facility expanded, we anticipate that Jonah will be taking water from it. That's just one of two routes. They're also building infrastructure in a large storage facility to where as soon as the plant's expanded, they'll have two take points to the facility. They're aggressively needing the water. They've also begun discussions with the city of Granger, which is solely on groundwater, which one day I anticipate will have to take water from this. And they're also discussing treating and providing water to Gerald Schwartner Water Supply Corporation. And for those of you that know Jimmy Schwartner, he owns a tremendous amount of land and has his eyes on some developments in the 5 to 10 year range. So he's going to be, I anticipate that some of this water will flow west into his service area also.
Are you saying we sell it to Taylor and Taylor is reselling it to all those entities?
Yes, sir, that's right. And it's the same thing with Jonah said. And it really becomes an issue. It was an issue with Taylor because they already had a contract with the city of Hutto. And Hutto had no other mechanism to take water but to get it through the city of Taylor. And to us, our revenues are really based on flows from the plant. So,
but what's the differential in pricing? Do we have any control over that we're not being taken advantage of?
No, sir, we don't. We offered water to Taylor at $1.20 per thousand, and the contract to Hutto was at $1.90 per thousand. So about a 70-cent per thousand charge. And a lot of that had to do with paying for the infrastructure to move it through the city and then ultimately get it to Hutto. So it's not 70 cents of built-in profit. There is built-in profit, of course, but the majority of that is for infrastructure. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So Taylor owns their own infrastructure in terms of distribution?
Yes, they sure do. And Jonah will own their own infrastructure as well. There will be a take point where we deliver it to a point for a dollar, for whatever the price of water is, $1.20 today, and Jonah will have to take it and pay for it to be distributed through their service area.
What's the length of time of our contract with Taylor?
I believe it's a 50-year contract. It's a 50-year contract. 25 years, they'll have the ability to renew it another 25 years. So it's beyond the life of the debt of the facility.
But the pricing is fixed for how long?
The pricing is fixed. It's the pricing for all the customers is fixed for 5-year intervals. For Taylor, however, because they came on in 2004 and we wanted to be on a 2005, 2010, 2015 time frame, we extended theirs a little bit longer than 5 years.
Back on the construction activity, what kind of suspense date do you have as far as when you have to commit for those to be good bids?
Actually, 90 days from the opening of the bids. Opening of the bids was June 29th, so that takes us into September.
I talked to a contractor Friday that was getting copper bids that were not good more than 30 days.
Is that right? We have, with our agreement, I believe, is for 90 days. I'll go back and double-check that. But we put in the bid documents.
You got it earlier, that may be true. I'm just saying it's moving the other way.
Right. And it'll be interesting to see in negotiating with Archer and Western what type of clauses they want in the contract about how to deal with copper and the availability of steel. What we're hearing today is steel is available. It's more expensive than it was 3 years ago. But there was a time 10 months ago when the availability of steel was pretty questionable as well.
Well, concrete as well.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
How will quality control be handled for this project?
Let me take a stab at that, and then Laura Lee, help me out, if you will. What we've done is we've pre-qualified for one area of quality control. Then we're able to approve the project manager, which we've got the project manager that we chose. We've also hired Freeze and Nichols to be the on-site inspector. VRA will be on-site, but they will not be on-site as an inspector, per se. We will be on-site to make sure that things are going like we want. They will have the responsibility of the on-site inspection. Also, with their bids, we require them to prepare a QAQC document, which tells us what they're going to do each step of the way, from materials testing to how they're going to oversee the job. And they've got to designate somebody within the company other than the project manager to oversee the QAQC. And also that person can't report to the inspector of the facility, to the project manager, so that we don't have a scenario where the project manager of construction is ruling over somebody that is afraid to blow the whistle. And I'll be quite honest with you, two things have happened. We have had a series of meetings with Freeze and Nichols to make real sure that they understand that we're holding them responsible for everything that happens. Also, before we had the construction meeting, their head of construction basically, Freeze and Nichols head of construction basically told the contractors, look, if you're not going to come and put your A game on, build the very best facility you can, and be sticklers about quality issues, QAQC, don't even bid on the job. So we've stressed it over and over and over again.
Now, then, having said all that, like our conversation last night, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If they're your people, then you're responsible. If they're somebody else's people, you hope that they're responsible, but you can't ensure it, even though the contract says you are responsible. They may or may not comply with what the contract says. And again, Suzanne and I were being philosophical last night, but the engineering firms of the past have written contracts that says, okay, we'll go do it for you for this amount of money, but we're not accountable or responsible for the outcome. And now then we're starting to get, well, if you want us to do that, we're going to charge you more money because there's risk there. Yes, sir, there is. And everything that we've touched in the last couple of years has turned south on us, and so even internally, we have those that says you need internal inspectors, and then the legal department says, well, but wait a minute, if you do that, you're putting yourself up, you're putting yourself in the breach, because it's up to you, i.e. the raw water line, Wilson County raw water line, i.e. SWATs, and I mean, I can go on. And so it's really, really difficult to come down and say, can I look at y'all and say, can you guarantee me at 100%? No. We're doing those things that we think is in the best possible interest of the authority, but I can't look at you because with any total assurance that this thing is not, you know, we're not going to get a bad contractor, the cost of copper is going to triple and they refuse to do it and so forth and so on. I mean, it's an art form. And it's scary.
But we have learned a little bit, hopefully, from
absolutely.
The past and in that.
I don't think you can ever get rid of your liability if you are a major company with the deep pockets. You just have to do diligence and do what you should do to make sure that they follow their contract. And then that's where we have to stay.
In my old life, I used to say, you know, you wouldn't be crashing airplanes if you didn't fly the damn thing.
There are two things, though, we're doing that are substantively different than what we've done before, and I think are going to help us. One is we're going to have a full-time RPR, which is a resident project representative through Freeze and Nichols, and that's key. We didn't do that with the raw water line, and that's where some of the issues have come up. We are in the process, frankly, of negotiating that contract with Freeze and Nichols. And for those folks who are involved in that, they'll tell you it's not finalized yet, and we're going back and forth on that language. But if things work out and we get the contract negotiated like we should, which I think we will, they will have a full-site, on-site person who is the formal resident project representative, and it will be that person's contractual obligation to work to protect us, to find deficiencies, to sign off on pay estimates or recommend signing off on pay estimates to engineers. We're going to, I mean, to the contract. The contract will do the work. They'll check it out, tell us they believe it's appropriate to pay or not to pay, and that's key. We're doing that. Secondarily, what's important is we are going to have our folks out there. They're not going to be inspectors. But if they happen to notice something, they're going to bring it to the attention of the inspector. So to the extent possible, we're trying to cover both worlds without getting ourselves so enmeshed in that inspection role that we get involved in the cross-finger pointing if there's a problem with the project. And then the other thing that David brought up that I think is key is that in this instance, two bidders were disqualified during the preliminary qualification process. That's pretty substantive. One of them, ironically, was Cajun. We've had problems with it. It shocks me that they did. But
can't win.
Yeah.
But the second one was a contractor who did not have enough qualifications, hadn't done enough projects like this in the past. And I'll be honest with you, I was pretty impressed with Friesen Nichols that they had the ability to stand up and say, you know, we've done an evaluation, we've looked at these firms, and this firm doesn't specifically meet the qualifications that were put in the document. So I think we're doing a little more homework than what we've done in the past.
All right.
Yes, sir.
I asked a question previously about the construction contractor himself being bonded and also warranty.
Yes.
I think based on the history of some of these projects, it is important that we also bond, warranty, or some other way indemnify Friesen Nichols, the quality control guy. They have more responsibility in this job, and I think it's a matter of process. We should be adding language, contract language, regarding the fact that they put up a bond or a warranty or something, liability insurance for this particular project. We don't have the situation again, who's hooked on, and the guy who's inspecting is order clear.
You're exactly right. What we do is we always require in our engineering contracts that they have errors and omissions insurance. We have the insurance required. So I think continuing to ensure that we've got liability insurance coverage on the projects is important, and we always require that. It's a good point.
Excellent.
Marley, before you sit down, once again, I just would suggest that as a part of our due diligence, we make a search of the public records.
Absolutely.
Something we do on every contract.
I agree.
Looking for litigation, criminal records, tax liens, whatever.
No, I don't disagree at all. Matter of fact, I sent an email just a little bit ago to Loopy because I think we're doing a lot of that, but I want to get the validation from him. But you're exactly right. We need to do that. Thank you.
Good.
I have a couple questions. Out of the old Taylor plant, there has been from time to time some question about the quality of the water.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing currently on that?
That's a good question, Director Pena. And as a matter of fact, I spent Thursday evening before the Taylor City Council just making them aware of what we were doing. And for those of you that don't know, there was an article that came out in the Hutto paper a few weeks back, and it questioned water quality. In talking with the city and talking with some other people, it was apparent that they didn't mean quality of the water. They meant taste and other issues. Nonetheless, the BRA has spent about $50,000 since April installing some equipment that allows the operators to put carbon into the water more efficiently. It does a better job. It reacts better to changes in water quality because of algae. So that's one thing that we're doing. When our guys get a taste and odor concern, they do two things. They contact the city manager. And then they contact that person and say, can we come to your house? And can we take water out of your tap? And can we do tests on it? They do that, and then they report back. We're also taking weekly algae samples at the reservoir so that our operators can understand what's taking place in the lake and better predict how to add carbon. That's the immediate. This map that I wanted to show you was in case we got that type of question. Basically, this is the property where I showed you the yellow hatch and everything that's in outline colors. These things, that's all going to be what's going to be new built, expanded. And the very large rectangle at the top is going to be a terminal storage facility. What's going to happen is water is going to be pumped directly out of the reservoir into that terminal storage facility. It will already have been treated with carbon, and it will spend some time there being settled out so that ultimately the quality of the water that goes to the facility will be different. And again, I've said there's water quality issues, and I'm using the word quality interchangeably here. We don't have water quality problems. But this terminal storage allows us a couple of things. First of all, it sends water to the facility in a better quality to be treated. So hopefully we will have dealt with some of those algae issues before they get into the facility. The other thing that we're doing, again, is long-term will be the intake structure down near the dam in the deep water. So, Director Pena, I think we're taking some steps. I told the city council that they did not have a water quality problem. But I told them that if they were having taste and odor issues, it was a quality of life issue, and the BRA would do everything that we could to address that.
The Granger, obviously, for those of you who don't know, it is a fairly shallow lake. It's a lake that's filling up in part of the world. And so the new intake structure will be at a little deeper part of the lake. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. It will be as near the dam as we can get it. There, we've actually talked with the Corps, and we've worked really good hand-in-hand with the Corps about where to locate the intake. We've actually got the intake. The proposed site is in the deepest part of the reservoir. It's immediately before you get to the dam. There's a significant cost in putting an intake on the dam. We're looking at probably a $12 million intake structure. If we put it on the dam, we're looking at a $25 million intake structure. So there's benefits to not being on the dam, plus we're going to be in some deeper water, which will be more drought protected.
What is the long-term forecast for Hutto's need for water from us? Well, you think it will increase?
I do. Personally, I do think that Hutto will be coming to the Brazos River Authority for more water in the future. I sure do. For those of you that don't know, the city of Hutto, about 3 or 4 years ago, entered into a series of water supply agreements, and they woke up one morning and they had an agreement for groundwater from a private developer. They had an agreement with Manville Water Supply Corporation, and then they had an agreement from the Brazos River Authority for surface water. They chose the agreement that takes water from a Heart of Texas water supply, which is a groundwater developer. I believe that's the right name, Heart of Texas. The water is very, very expensive. Initial costs are somewhere in the $3 to $3.50 per thousand range. And depending on who you talk to on the street, there's still a considerable question whether the water can be delivered in the quantity. The issue with that, there are two issues. If they deliver the water, one will be the sustainability of it. The second will be that the city of Hutto has signed a take-or-pay contract, which has them paying for up to 3 million gallons a day in 3 years, which is well ahead of their projection. So they're going to have to pay for the water, whether they take the water or not. We had an open house. The LCRA, BRA had an open house on a wastewater facility, which is going to be located downstream of the city of Hutto. And the BRA was there to help answer any questions, and I probably got 20 questions on Hutto's water deal. So there is a significant concern amongst the citizens.
The other thing, I think we brought up a while ago, on the take points, we're still essentially, we're a wholesaler of the water, even though they were a treatment to Taylor and Hutto, to Noah, whatever. Oh, well, not to Hutto, but certainly to Taylor. But we're master metering that stuff. Those things are calibrated every year or so often, how we meter that stuff?
Yes, sir, they are. They're calibrated every year. And in the contracts that we have with both customers, we have very specific language about who calibrates and who pays for it. If the customer has questions about the calibration or the metering, they can pay to go in and to do some testing on the metering. But we will have master meters for all customers that take wholesale water from us.
This plant does have the carbon addition capability, or will have?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
It does have?
Yes, sir, it does.
Already.
Yeah, the existing plant has the ability to treat carbon into the water before it gets to the facility.
And you still have to
maintain that? Yes, sir. We're going to maintain that in the new facility and with the new intake, so that we can, any pre-treatment of the water before it gets to the terminal storage, we have that flexibility. Just simply because of the organic, the water chemistry in the reservoir, if we start to see excessive blue-green algae blooms, then we can go in and start with that pre-treatment before it gets.
Is any of this water mixed with groundwater?
Not yet. It will be many years, and that's the conjunctive use of the Carrizo Wilcox down the road.
One of the most dramatic things that in this job that I've seen is down at that plant, you go in and there's this water in a container. You say, it looks good. He turns it upside down, and all the stuff that came out of there comes back in there. I mean, it's ugly stuff.
Conjunctive use will help mitigate some of that, will it not?
Conjunctive use will in some instances help mitigate that. Yes, sir. Not as much as the new intake will.
But the theory is to pass it through and not have to.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I understand it. We're talking about the new intake, yeah.
But if you use enough carbon, you can sweeten it up pretty good. I, the Clifton plant, as far as I know, has had one taste and odor issue time out of 5 years. That's because the operator went to sleep. Well, they were lax.
I assure you, Curtis doesn't let our operator go to sleep.
They were lax. When they got their act together, they cut it back for Zara.
David, I think it's important to note that while when you start talking about the conjunctive aspects of bringing the groundwater in, how you bring that groundwater in, at what point it's treated, and then what point it's blended, and to what extent it's blended will factor into those taste and odor issues subsequent to the addition of groundwater into that system.
I agree with John. That's pretty tricky when you start blending that in. So
it'll depend. There's several different ways we can do this project as a conjunctive project. That's everything from actually dumping the groundwater, if you will, into Lake Granger and then just pulling them out as one source at one take point, or bringing it in as a separate source with a separate line within the treatment plant and treating it separately and blending it post-treatment. So there's several different ways you could go about doing that, and those technical issues won't be addressed until we get farther down the road on our groundwater.
I know water chemistry will require that you do a lot of testing to see if you're going to cause, like, turbidity problems. And lots of times you can put one that has some calcium in it with something that's insoluble. You end up with a really bad problem. So you're exactly right when you talk about keeping them separate until you really know what's going to happen there.
And yes, ma'am. Just to further expand on that, one of the issues that Jonah Sud had, they have a series of wells that if they don't get surface water from the BRA, they're going to have to condemn the wells, because the wells are so high in fluoride. So even a lot of their customers that they could maintain 100% on groundwater as far as a capacity issue, they're going to have to mix surface water in with that just to reduce fluoride. Any other questions?
Good, read the motion.
Be it hereby resolved that the Asset Management Committee recommends to the Board of Directors of the Texas River Authority adoption of the following proposed resolution. Be it resolved that the Board of Directors of the Authority hereby authorizes the General Manager, CEO, to negotiate and execute a contract with Archer Western Contractors for $17,287,000 for the construction of the East Williamson County Regional Water System Phase 1 expansion.
Do you have a motion for approval?
I move the resolution to be approved as presented.
Second.
Second.
Please read the roll.
Director Roberts?
Yes.
Director Blunt?
Yes.
Director Pruitt?
Yes.
Director Fagan?
Yes.
Director Bagel?
Yes.